You guys need help, man. They need counseling. How many of you could relate with the wife? How many of you could relate with the husbands? Yeah, you don't want to raise your hands, yeah? Today we're going to talk about how do we upgrade our marriages. And it's not just the marriage. You know, if you're thinking, well, it doesn't apply to me, I'm divorced, or I'm not going to get married, hey, God has someone for you. The principles that we're going to talk about today is going to upgrade your life. And here to talk about upgrading our marriage is Pastor Alex. Pastor Alex Pacheco from Hilo. Now, Pastor Wayne didn't trust me enough with this message. He brought Pastor Alex in to present to us the principles that we need to learn in order to make sure that our marriages are long-lasting. Would you welcome with me Pastor Alex Pacheco as he comes out?
Well, good morning. When Pastor Wayne asked me to come and speak on marriage, I said, why not fishing? I can talk about fishing. But marriage is something that we constantly need to work on, every one of us. And I want to say that, yes, I am married. My wife is sitting right over there. Honey, kind of wave. And that's our granddaughter, Nikki, my wife, Berna. Yeah, and then my daughter, Lena, who lives there in Honolulu. She's visiting with us as well. And this September, we celebrate our 40th anniversary. So I want to tell you something right off the top, that all 40 years hasn't been smooth. And, you know, everybody thinks that just because we're pastors that we're perfect. We're not perfect. Far from it. And you have in your church good counselors. Pastor Larry Gillis and his wife Charlene, They actually counseled us when we were getting into ministry. There was a time that was very rough for us, and they took us up on the Big Island, up on Kohala Mountain. I don't know if it was to throw us off or to counsel us, but they helped us so much. And then later on in our years, Dan Shima and his wife Carol Ann helped us through. Anybody heard of this word menopause? Boy, we went through a rough one as well, and they helped steer us and kept the course in following the Lord, and that has helped us so much. So what I'm really trying to say is that it's okay, and in fact, it's a good idea to get godly help and counsel when you're really struggling in your marriage. And so marriages are the most important earthly relationship that we can have. A few years ago in our church, we noticed that a lot of the marriages was not doing well. And my wife and I kind of sat down and really brainstormed and prayed about how we could help these people with their marriages. And we came up with this marriage class that is called Igniting Your Marriage Once Again. We found that there were some things that was going on in marriages that needed a spark to happen so that they could get back on track. And we'll be sharing that a little bit in the message today. But I'm always looking for things, you know, for marriage. And I came across this one. This couple writes a book, and the book is titled, Men Are Like Waffles and Women Are Like Spaghetti. Spaghetti, all the way, you know, like that. And, you can relate to that, because the ladies, they, you know, you ask them one question. All you need is a yes or no. But they go over the mountain, under the trees, around the valley, and they go on and on before they answer you the question. So they're like spaghetti. But ladies, this is for you today. So listen really carefully. men go to their favorite boxes to recharge. When you look at a battery being recharged, what do you see? Nothing really, but it is something's happening. It's getting recharged. So men go to several boxes to recharge. And so you need to think of the waffle design. Yeah, it's made of many little boxes within one big square. So ladies, here is one way that you can help that we can help you today to recognize some of the boxes that the men like to go to and get recharged. And by the way, they're all shaped like boxes. The first one is the TV. Okay? They get recharged. Here's another one. The computer. The newspaper. The garage. Here's a good one. the refrigerator, the football field, the basketball court, and then they left the best for the last. The bed. The bed box is a favorite for husbands under stress. It's a lot like that free space on a bingo card, and a husband can get there from any other square on his waffle. I like that, and I have used it a lot already in our church, talking to our marriage people. Even good marriages are in need of an occasional lifting. And you guys are in a series right now talking about how to excel. And I cannot think of a better thing to do for your marriage than to help it excel, to help it get to the next level. That you would make a choice to invest in your marriages so that your marriages could be everything that God wants it to be. So let me start this morning by asking you a question. And it's not a hard question. How many of you remember dating? Okay, two people. So I'm going to help you remember what dating is all about. Dating is exciting. It's a new thing that is going on in your life. When you meet someone that you really like and you start to fall in love with them, it's cloud nine for you. I mean, you are in awe of each other. But then you like each other so much, you get married, and then there's this honeymoon time, and then the weeks become months, and the months become years, and then what happened is what used to be the wowee is now owie. And the new has worn off. And what was once a sizzle is now a fizzle. What we do in our marriage class, and you might want to write this down if you're taking notes today. It's not on your outline, but the three R's we talk about. The first R is romance. And romance is what I was just talking about when you fall in love with someone and it's like, I gotta be with that person. And when you're not with each other, you're on the telephone and you are talking for hours. And you don't know what you're talking about, but you're talking. And you just keep talking. And then when you hang up, you call each other back because you forgot to say something else. You got so much to talk about. But then when you are married for a long time, guess what? You don't call each other anymore. And that's the second R. You fall into routine. Routine is that because now you got to go to work and you got to support the family, that you get up in the morning, you go to work, you come home, maybe watch a little television, do some chores around the house, have dinner, go to bed. Next morning, same thing again, and the marriage gets laid on the side because now you're in your routine stage. Every day, same old, same old. And if you don't watch out, you fall into the next R, which is the roommate stage. Yes, you can be married for 40 years and be roommates only. That's a dangerous place to be. Now, if we're going to be honest with ourselves, we have to realize that some of the very best marriages still hurt some of the time, but the bad ones hurt all of the time. And so what I want to do today is give you some things that will help you with your marriage, that if you will apply it, and if you will invest in these things that we're going to talk about today into your marriage, it will take your marriage to the next level. And I'm going to call it marriage investments. And so on your outline, the first investment that I believe that will help rekindle some sizzle in your marriage is to make a commitment to a long-term growing marriage. Commit to a long-term growing marriage. Now notice, I didn't just say long-term, because there are such a thing as long-term roommates. And so when you put in that word growing, what it's indicating is that there is something that's going to happen, that there's going to be a movement, there's going to be something that you will deposit into it that will enhance your relationship. And this is the first and most important commitment for health to emerge in your marriage, to say that we are committed to the long term and for it to grow. Get it? Good, you remember. Good. Brenna and I, in our marriage, we stood back for a second, and we talked, and we said, how do we really want our marriage to look like? And so we wrote some things down. And this is what we wrote. We want to be madly in love with one another. We want to love God. We want to love life. And Brenna said, I want you to love me the way that you did when you first met me. We want to be emotionally intimate, physically intimate, spiritually intimate, and intellectually intimate. And we want to be that old couple that is still holding hands, still touching each other, even in public, still kissing each other. We wanted a oneness, a connectedness. Now, when I just shared that, I think that there are many here that are married that would say, that's the kind of relationship I want. That's something I would want too. Why? Why did that strike a chord? I'll tell you why. Because it is supposed to. God designed us somewhere in our spiritual DNA that we would be so connected that this relationship on earth would be the most important relationship that we would have. That we were created in the image of God. And He gave us the desire and the ability to have relationships. He gave us the capacity to love and then to express it. He gave us what I'd like to call the oneness factor. And it strikes a chord in us because it was designed to do so. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. It says, this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife. Would you underline that word, joined? This is that oneness factor where two become one. Before that, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 23, and you got to remember now, this is after God created Adam, and then now He creates Eve. And Adam sees Eve for the very first time. And the Bible says, this is now my bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. And do you know that when we translated the Hebrew into English, we actually lost the passion of Adam. You got to picture this. Adam looks at Eve for the first time and he goes, woo, wow. You got to remember now, she didn't have any clothes on. This was the element of, wow, holy mackerel, you know? And that is the oneness factor, where two become one. You know that God's design for our marriage is that our spouse would complete us. And not only complete us, but make us better, to enhance our lives. And I know what some of you are thinking right now, that you're thinking that I married the wrong person. No, you did not. You don't need a new spouse. You need a new attitude. Many years ago, I was invited to attend a hoedown, country western hoedown at an elementary school, and it was put on by the first graders. And when I got there, I noticed all the first grade kids, they had these cowboy scarves on and their little cowboy hats. They looked so neat. All except one kid. And the reason why I saw this one kid, he was taller than everybody else. He was a foot taller than anybody else. And what he had on was his old Navy sweater and a baseball cap that was sideways. And when it was their turn to perform, they went up there, and all the kids were singing and doing their signs and jumping up and down, having a wonderful time, all except this one boy, who just stood there, never opened his mouth. Well, after the performance, I watched and I saw his dad go up to him, and I was close enough to hear the conversation, and this is what the father said to his son. He said, son, what's the matter? Did you not like the choir director? Did you not know the words of the song? Did you not know the hand motions? Why didn't you sing? And this is what the son said. This was his reply. I didn't want to. You know, for a lot of us, we don't need a new choir director. We don't need a new spouse. We don't need more words to figure out how to make things work because we already know how to make it work. But some of us have this attitude, I don't want to. You don't need a new spouse. You need a new attitude. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. Not only will your marriage be long-term, but that it will be growing. Amen? You got to invest in that. So let me ask you a question. When was the last time you thanked God for your marriage? Anybody here Portuguese? I'm Portuguese. I come from Hilo. And a lot of the Hilo Portuguese, all we do is grumble and complain. We grumble and we complain. And I wonder if God is grieved because we grumble so much about our marriage. We complain to Him so much about our marriage. When was the last time you thanked God for your marriage? Are you getting this? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4. Since everything God created is what? Good. And including your marriage. We should not reject any of it. We may receive it gladly with thankful heart. You see, God designed marriage to be good. And it can be good, but it takes commitment. It takes investment. If you and I make the right investments, the right commitments, you might be as fortunate to have the type of marriage that somebody you know in this church has. You got to first invest in a long-term growing marriage. Can I hear an amen to that? Here's the second investment. Make a commitment to serve your spouse. Make a commitment to serve your spouse. Everybody say serve.
Serve.
Say it again.
Serve.
Okay. Some of you are saying serve. Because it's so hard to serve. Romans 12:10 says, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Underline that word honoring. The Living Bible translation says, outdo one another in showing good. You see, one of the ways that we honor our spouse is to serve. Philippians 2, verses 2 and 4. They make me truly happy by loving each other and agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, working together with one heart and mind and purpose. Verse 4 says, don't just think about your own affairs, but be interested in others too and in what they are doing. Would you underline your own? You see, the bottom line is selfishness kills. Serving wins. And it applies to all relationships, not just marriage. And Jesus gives a new form of relating to one another. I think that when you serve another person, it reflects your spiritual maturity. After this service, I'm going to have lunch with some of your pastors. And then Bernie and I are going to get on the plane and we're going to go back to Hilo. So I don't care. I'm going to confess some things of my life to you today. And because I'm gone, I don't care. I want to be really honest with you today. Deep inside of me, I am a very selfish man. I don't want to be, but it's a battle that rages inside of me every single day of my life. I want to serve, but there is something inside of me that hangs in there and says, why don't you just see if somebody else will do it? And unfortunately, I take that into my marriage. And as much as I love my wife and I want to serve her, there is something in me that says, do not get off the couch. Not yet. Maybe she'll think that you didn't hear her. Maybe she'll do it herself. Can anybody relate to what I'm saying? We're very selfish. Now let me ask you, in the last 24 hours, what are the opportunities that you had to serve that you either missed or you just didn't want to do them? This is your homework. Would you write them down? Would you make a list of these things? You know what it was for me? Last night, we stayed in a hotel. And last night, I had to get out of the bed to turn off the light when she was the last one in bed. And you would think that 40 years, she would have it by now, but she doesn't. I remember another time, I had to help her find her keys when she was the one that lost them. I think we can relate to all of this kind of stuff. Marriage is not always fun. Marriage is not always easy. Marriage is difficult. And you have to constantly work and invest in your marriage for it to get better. I know what somebody's saying. Well, Pastor Alex, you're talking about serving. How long do I have to serve my spouse? Well, look at Romans chapter 13, verse 8. And let's read that one together. Ready? Go. Pay all your debts except the debt of love to each other. You can never finish paying that. When do you stop serving? Never. Would you underline that? Never. You serve your spouse for the rest of your life. Get it? Good, good. You better get it. You better get it. In the Bible, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we know that as the love chapter. And I want to read this to you this morning from verse 4 to verse 7. It says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable. It keeps no record of when it's been wrong. It's never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Doesn't that sound really wonderful, that kind of love? But how do we love like that? Well, one way is what I just said to you. Would you write those little things that you passed up? It's a good place to start, to take notice of them so that next time you don't pass them up. Some of you are sitting here and you're saying, but Pastor, I don't want to meet their needs until they meet mine. Well, let me tell you what's going on with your spouse. They're saying the same thing as you are. And guess what happens when you both are doing that? Nothing. So, the question is, who starts? Would you write this down? You do. And I know because Honolulu people are real smart. You saying, you do. So, write down, me do. Okay? It starts with you. And people who do not understand this oneness factor, they don't understand the biblical design for marriage. They say things like, well, what about my rights? Marriage is not about demanding rights. And if you're a Christian, Jesus never said anything about rights. Jesus spoke about being responsible with love. Even if the other person is not treating you the way that you want to be treated. Now, I'm not saying if your spouse is beating you up that you let them continue to do so. I'm talking about an attitude here. It's an attitude that when someone slaps your cheek, that you give them the other cheek. If he says, walk a mile, you walk 2 miles. That is the difference that Jesus Christ makes in our life. And it's very tough. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, it's not me, it's Christ who lives within me. Now let me tell you something. When I was just becoming a Christian, I was learning a lot of things about what God says. And I realized that there's a lot of things that I did and I was taught that is just the opposite of what God is saying. I mind you that I was learning. And when Pastor Wayne would be preaching, and I would kind of question and say, turn the other cheek. No way. I'm going to crack them. Why? Because that's what I was taught. That nobody gets away with pushing you around. And I was doing that. And I said, no way. And then one day I was having an argument with my wife, but I was already a Christian learning about Christ. And I felt the Lord say to me, you go say you're sorry to her. Never. I mean, the way I was taught was like the stronger person never gives up. Let her come to me. And I was learning about what Christ was saying, and I struggled with that. I really struggled with the things that God was saying to me because I learned this way, and now He wants me to learn His way. And so I remember saying to Berna, saying to God first, okay, Lord, I'll obey you. And I went to her, sorry. And the Lord said, no. You got to say it with all your heart. Oh, that was so hard. So hard to undo what you used to do. And now follow Jesus. But let me tell you what really helped me. When I submitted and I said, okay, Lord, I'll do it your way. And I said, honey, I'm truly sorry. I am sorry. And after she got up off the ground, I saw a change in her. Something happened in Berna. Her heart got softer towards me. And I looked at that and I said, I like that. I think I'm not going to do that anymore. I'll start doing what God asked me to do because I like that. And I think she liked that too. Are you following me? Yeah, it's just something that happens, and it's hard to explain. It's a God thing that he does in our lives. Now, it's not me anymore, but it's Christ who lives within me that gets to work on my marriage. I hope you get that. Here's number three. You make a commitment to shatter routine. Make a commitment to shatter routine. We get in a rut and we fall into routine. And a lot of people think that marriage is boring. Dating is fun, but marriage is boring. Now, right after this service, some of you are going to go and probably go to a restaurant and have lunch or dinner tonight or something. I want you to look at the couples that are sitting in the booths. The ones that are all over each other. I mean, they're touching each other. They're kissing each other in public. And would you look on their fingers and see if they got a ring on? I'll tell you the ones that wear the rings. They're the ones that in the other booth reading the newspaper. Not even talking to each other. Usually, the people who are enjoying themselves, having all the fun, are not the ones that are married. Now, why is that? Because marriages have become dull. And the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 9, enjoy life with your wife. Would you underline that word, enjoy? And then underline the two words, your wife. In 1 Timothy 6:17, God richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. What is he saying here? He's saying that we should enjoy. But somehow we have misplaced this Adam and Eve wow with ow. And things have become routine. One of the major reasons reported for failures in marriage is boredom. And so I ask you, are you fun to live with? Or is your idea of fun watching television? When was the last time you did something just for the fun, to break the monotony? Something crazy for your spouse? Because if your life becomes predictable, your marriage will become predictable. And it will kill your marriage. And it will move you quickly into roommates. Are you following me? So this morning, here's how I'll give you a couple of things, how you can enjoy one another. You can see an acrostic there. The letter E right next to it, would you write the word encourage? Encourage every day, saying, and do this with all your heart, I love you. Saying words to build up, not tear down. People are dying for encouragement. And before you get out of bed in the morning, before you say anything in the morning, you say, God, will you give me words to say? Give me your eyes that I might see my spouse the way that you see him. Give me your words, Lord. And then the next letter is N. Would you write the word new? N-E-W. New. Do something new every day. Start with the little things. So here's something that you can do. Tomorrow when you get out of bed a different way. Climb over them. Just do something new. And what that'll do is help get your mind working to think differently so that you will break the routine and then you can start to begin to say, what can I do new for my spouse today? And then the next letter is J. Just touch. Just touch. Not sexual touching. Guys, we can do this. We can. Holding hands. Putting your arm around her. Different things like that. Just touch. And then O, offer to do. Offer to do. You know, let me get that. Let me do this for you. Offer to do something. I mentioned about men being like waffles and these squares that we use to recharge ourselves. One of the things that I like to do is watch a TV program. And after a hard day at work, counseling all you guys that give me problems, I come home kind of drained, and I say to my wife, honey, give me a few minutes just to watch television. And she knows that I need recharging. And this is what I say to her. And I will fold the laundry while I'm watching television. Ooh, Pastor Alex, you're so smart. You're scoring while you're watching television, while you're recharging. She might have to refold all the clothes after I do it. But I think that we need to think really wisely. And make sure that we're always offering to do something for each other. And listen to this. Don't do this. Now that you gave them some time to do something else, don't suggest, hey, honey, go outside, wash the car. Don't do that. And the last letter is Y, which stands for yes. Now listen carefully, guys. When your wife puts on something new, you say, yes. No, I heard the wives, the guys. You say,
yes.
No, yes, yeah. And I know that because you come to church and you come here to learn, that you're going to try and apply this. That this week, you're going to go out and buy something new. And then you're going to look at your husband and he's going to say, yes. And then you're going to say, you just saying that because Pastor Alex told you to. Don't do that. Don't do that. You see, yes is an attitude. You know, on Valentine's Day, our whole marketing system just kind of changes in our stores. And we move into what is sexy. Sexy is an attitude. If you are in the routine stage of your marriage, your next destination is roommates if something doesn't stop and something else doesn't start. Get it? I hope I encourage you to ignite a spark. The fourth commitment is the most important relationship that we can invest in. And it is the commitment to put God first. Put God first. This is the foundation. Everything else will fail if the foundation is not there. Now, God doesn't want our relationship of our marriage to be first. I'm going to say that again. God doesn't want our relationship of our marriage to be first. Now, I told you about when I first started my walk with the Lord and I was learning, and the things that I knew here, I was learning that it was the opposite of what God wanted me to be doing. And Pastor Wayne was preaching a message one day, and I forgot what it was, but it was about putting God first. And I went up to him and I explained to him, I said, "Pastor Wayne, how can I put God before my wife? I love my wife. I love her more than anything else. I will die for my wife." And he gave me some good counsel. I don't know what it was, but it worked. I went home and I spent time with the Lord. And it didn't happen right away. But as I walked with the Lord, one day I said to him, "Okay, I will take that risk, Lord. I will put you first." And when I did that, all of a sudden, it was like my eyes opened up. I saw my wife as even more beautiful. And my heart opened up and I had a deeper love for her. All this happened, I don't know how, but it just happened. I thought I loved her and I couldn't love her any more than I did. But this happened to me when I put God first. There's something that happens when you obey God and you allow Him to be first in your life. Something that I could not explain except to say, take the risk. And you try that. You allow God to be first. He doesn't want our kids to be first in our lives. He wants our relationship with Him to be first. That we would seek Him first. That we would put Him ahead of everything else. And some of us have to learn this the hard way. Our relationships with other people do not work when we're not plugged into Him. And I believe that the fullest potential of marriage will never be realized until both husband and wife are are rightly related to God first, as well as to each other. 1 John 1:7 says, But if we are living in the light of God's presence, just as Christ does, then we have wonderful fellowship and joy with each other. You see, the key to fellowship and joy is to be in the presence of God. And if I'm pursuing my relationship with God, wanting to be a man of God, and if my wife is pursuing her relationship with God, wanting to be a woman of God, then there is something that spiritually brings us together that no seminar, no books, no message can accomplish. It's something that we call a God thing. And I'm not suggesting that if you're a non-Christian and you're married, that you cannot have a good marriage. No, I'm not saying that. What I am suggesting is that a Christ-centered marriage can add a whole new dimension of who you are to this relationship. And if I can illustrate it, I would just compare it to a black and white television versus a jumbotron, picture in picture. And listen, guys, multiple remotes. Yeah. You do get a picture, but one is so much more vibrant when you have a relationship with Christ. Jesus said this in John 15, verse 4. If you would look up on the screen, we could read this together. Ready, go. "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." It's talking about fruit. How do we produce fruit? By remaining in him. When we're connected to Him. Now, what is the deal with fruit? In Galatians chapter 5, it speaks about the fruit of the Spirit. And starting from verse 22, it says, "But when the Holy Spirit controls our life," who controls our lives? Okay. He will produce this kind of fruit in us. Who will produce the fruit? Okay, and when he is in our lives. Okay, so why don't you listen to this and you see if this is what you want in your marriage. Okay, here we go. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Confession time. Many years ago, I was already a pastor. Bernie and I was having a real bad argument. Yes, pastors do have arguments. We're not perfect. We're just like you. And I picked up a chair. What do you do when you're in an argument and you pick something up? You throw it. I'm glad I didn't throw it at my wife. I threw it at the wall, made a big hole in the wall. And I know this was God. I heard this, and he said to me, Alex, you have no self-control. And then I looked at the hole, and I said, you stupid. Now you got to fix the thing. And so the Bible says, ask, and it shall be given unto you. And I said to the Lord, then, Lord, give me self-control. And I'm glad that the God that we serve, he answers. And I can say to you today that I have self-control. If you ask, you shall receive. And some of you are saying, I need this in my marriage. Then ask God. Ask God. You see, you get it when you're connected in a relationship with God. Now, we are asked a lot in Hilo, Pastor Alex, what happens if my spouse is not a believer? What do I do? Well, I'm going to tell you first what not to do. Don't preach to them. I have seen so many people shove Jesus Christ down their spouse's throat, down their children's throat, down the throats of the people that they work with or they see. And you know what happens? Every time they see you, they're going to go like this. Get away from me. The Bible says that the natural man does not understand the things of God. And here we are trying to shove God down their throat. Don't do that. You do not have to wear a Christian t-shirt all the time in front of them. You don't have to leave the radio tuned into a Christian station so that every time they jump in the car, they got to listen to that. You don't have to put tracks in their lunch can and their, you know, you don't have to sing Christian songs all day or pray out loud to God, God forgive him for his sins. Listen carefully. All you gotta do is just love them. You bear fruit naturally. You know, I have seen women, ladies in the church, and you show more Christian love to the ladies in the church than you do to your spouse. And men, I have seen you bend over backwards to help one of your buddies on a weekend, go help do a project or fix, repair their homes. But then when you come home, you will not even lift a finger in your own house. Something wrong. We're investing in the wrong places. So listen carefully. If you have a spouse that is not a believer and you want to bear fruit, you be gentle and kind and loving. You be just like the fruits of the Spirit. You love him. You love God with all your heart. And listen, you let them see the beauty that Christ makes in your life, and they will want that. Get it? Good. Stop shoving Jesus down people's throats. Now, there's a difference between someone that is a believer and someone that is not a believer. I'm a believer, and I have a personal relationship with God as the creator of the universe. And I'm not just a creation of his, I'm his child. I have said yes to him. And because I said yes, he comes into my life and he has forgiven me of everything that I've done wrong. He's wiped my past clean. And he guides me in the present. And he gives me hope for eternity. Confession time. Sometimes I take the credit for what God does. He's made me a good husband. I hope I am, honey. Tell him. Okay. Made me a good father. Something happens when you let Christ into your life. And listen to this. And he does it for eternity. That's the difference. The Bible says this in John chapter 1, verse 12. But to all who believe him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. You see, because I have accepted the Lord into my life, and I put him in the driver's seat, and I'm now in his family, I get direct access to his love. Can I give you one more confession? Ooh, Pastor, you get plenty of junk. Yep. Yeah. I am not smart enough to love my wife the way God wants me to love her. I am not tender enough to meet her needs the way God wants me to meet her needs. I don't have the wisdom to see through all the situations that she goes through every day. So you know what I found out? I don't have to rely on my own strength and my own wisdom. As a Christian, I can rely on God's strength and God's wisdom. Can I hear an amen to that? There's such a benefit of having God in your life. And if you have never said yes to God, if you have never believed in him, I'm saying, what are you waiting for? It's all your way. It's all for you. It's a love that loves unconditionally. No matter what you have done, God will forgive you. It's a love that says, I'm going to guide you day by day. It's a love that says, I will help you in your marriages. I will help you in your relationship with your children. I will help you on your job. I will be there for you. And then it's a love that says, I have a place for you in heaven for eternity. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. And with your heads bowed and eyes closed, and I'm going to ask that no one looks around. It's just a time of honoring one another and paying attention to God. If there are some of you here today that would say, Pastor Alex, my marriage is not doing so well, and I do need to invest in it. I do need to do something. And maybe some of you are just saying, I don't know what to do. It's bad. Well, I want to say this to you. God knows that. And God is the one that can resurrect the dead. He can resurrect a dead relationship. And God is for you. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, if there's somebody that would be honest enough to lift a hand to say, Pastor Alex, would you pray for my marriage? Hold your hand up real high. And nobody's looking around to make you feel bad in any way. Father, as these are lifting their hands and hearts to you, I pray today, Lord, that you help them. Show them, Lord. Show them how good marriage can be. Lord, I would pray that you would ignite a spark into their lives right now, into their marriages. Give them, Lord, the strength that they need. Give them the words to say to one another. Help them to do new things in their life. Lord, help them to get back to the romance stage with one another. No matter how old they are, Lord, fill them with your love for each other. You may put your hands down. There might be someone that would say to me, Pastor Alex, you talked about Jesus and the way he teaches us to do things. And you could relate to what I said about the old way, the way I was taught and the way I believed it. But Jesus has a new way, a way that would make things even better. And so I'm inviting you today to Ask him into your lives. If you have never asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, if there is someone here that would say, I'd like to have Jesus into my heart, would you lift a hand right now and I'll pray for you. Hold up real high. You're responding to the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. And don't put your hand down yet. Father, I pray for these people. Lord, they're about to experience the best thing that would ever happen to them. And that is having you in their life. And Lord, I know that right now they're taking that risk, the risk that I talk about, and following you. Now with your hands raised and hearts open, and you don't even have to use your mouth, but from your heart, would you pray this prayer? Lord, come into my life. The Bible says, ask, and it shall be given to you. Lord, I ask you to be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of all my sins, that I might have a brand new start in life. Fill me with your power and love and grace and understanding. Help me to be more like you. If you prayed that prayer, the Lord says you shall receive. You just receive Jesus into your heart. You may put your hands down. Now, Father, I pray for all the people. There are some, Lord, that would say that this message was not for me because I'm not married. Then, Lord, I would pray that you would turn them into counselors. You turn them into people that would give good advice to others. You turn them into people that would be lights so that they can lead others to you as well. Not shoving you down their throats, Lord, but loving them and getting them to a place where they would be able to receive you. And Father, we just want to thank you for what you do. We know this, Lord. The church does not start until we walk out these doors, because that's when we apply what we've learned. And so, Lord, I would pray that this church would continue to be blessed because they have chosen to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody would say amen. Amen. Thank you so much for having us. God bless you all.
You don't reach out your hand for them, so they pull.
Say thank you to Pastor Alex as well, would you, for that warm message? Let's stand together. Can I encourage you as you take the message that was implanted in your heart and the notes that you wrote out, don't just stick it on a shelf. It's time to apply it to our lives. In fact, take the notes that you have and sit down with your spouse or a friend or some others who you know and begin to digest the message. Otherwise, we're giving you meat and it's not digesting in your system. Take some time this week to have it applied to your hearts and then live out the lifestyle that God is asking of us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your messenger and Pastor Alex and Berna and the wonderful example that they set for us. Lord, thank you for speaking through their lives into ours, where we can now learn and glean off of them the principles and commitments we need to make. Father, we want to grow, not just grow in our physical stature. We want to grow spiritually and from glory to glory into your image. Dear Lord, as we upgrade our marriages, our relationships, as we upgrade our lives, Father, may it be one that pleases you most of all. Thank you again, Lord God, for loving us the way that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you seal that lesson to your heart? Love on someone as you go.